Goodness, and thank you, Lord, for your gracious Lord. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord. Another Sunday time, Lord, we can come to the church for worshiping you, for praising you, and for praising your name as well. And the Lord God, please, Father, bless us, give us wisdom, give us understanding. And for me as well, Lord, Holy Spirit, you be our preacher, you be our teacher, Lord. And use me for your glory and bless your word as well. And I pray in your holy name, Lord. Amen. So, over the past few weeks, we have been preaching from the Gospel of Matthew. The Word of God has been spoken about the end times. For example, last week, Brother Ian preached. You remember, yeah? Actually, Brother Ian preaching about the return of Christ and waiting for his coming. In Matthew 24, verse 42 to 44, I think this is key verses for Matthew 24. Lord Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not accept it." Then Jesus gives a parable to clearly explain what is the meaning to be watchful for the coming of the Lord. In the verse 45 to 51, Jesus gives these parables, the parables of the good servant and evil servant. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made the ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he's come, finds so doing. Surely I said to you that he will make him a ruler over all his good. But if the evil servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming. Maybe he is coming after 100 years. And they begin to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkard. Then the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of. And they will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrisy. That shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." At the first glance, when you read these parables, you may think is mainly about the church leaders. These parables is not for all assembly of God. It's only for the church servants, like a pastor or like a bishop or like for anyone working in the church. Is that for the all? The one side is true, maybe, for first side when you read these parables, maybe you said, maybe he's talking about it. The pastors or the deacons or the assistant pastor or for anyone working in church. But in reality, no. This parable is not only for the elected in the church. This parable is for whole assembly of God. In the Mark 13, verse 37, again the Lord Jesus says, "And what I said to you, I say to all, watch." Revelation 2:7 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." 1 Peter 4:7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be sober and watchful in your prayer." Be watchful is not only for the leaders. As a Christian, all assembly of God, they must be watchful. Amen? All assembly of God. They must be watchful. The main question here for us for today, who is watchful here? Jesus considered the watchful and faithful servant to be one who continued to carry out his duty properly even in the matter's absence and the focus on the needs of others. That's a watchful person. He focused on his duty. Every Christian have a duty. Every Christian, everyone come to Jesus Christ and receive his great salvation, he got a duty for God. I know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit give a gift to each person. I know, all the gift after all the churches is not the same. I know, all the assembly of God, they doesn't have a gift of preaching. But maybe to someone they have a gift of encouraging. Maybe someone have a gift of, hospitality. Maybe someone have a gift of mercy. I don't know. First thing, asking Lord, asking God, and God will show you what is my gift, God. What is my duty to have a focus on? That's the first thing as a Christian we have to do. Asking Lord, oh God, show me what is my gift. What is my duty to do for your glory? Such a servant shows that he truly believes in the master's return. In contrast, the evil servant, thinking my master is delaying, being a neglect his responsibility, act unjustly, and live carelessly among the drunkards. The important point here for us, my brother and my sisters, the important point here is this. While we are waiting for Christ's return, we must remain faithful in our service and be ready in our personal relationship with God. Do not allow Satan to make you cold or spiritually asleep with the lie, my master is delaying his coming. Do not allow Satan whispering in your ear, take it easy. Don't care about that. You don't need to come to the church. Do not allow Satan whispering in your ears. Have faithful to Lord. Maybe your master coming today. Maybe your master coming now. Maybe your master coming tomorrow. But the main question here, are you ready to meet him? That's the main question. Are you ready to meet him? Do you think that when your Lord arrives, he will find you a faithful servant? Keep yourself busy with his will? Or he will see you as a lazy person? That's the main question for us today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 to 11 says, therefore let us not sleep as the others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who did for us that whether we wake or asleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So that's another question. This passage brings us another question. That's the main question for each Christian. The question here, how can a Christian be a source of comfort to other Christians as well? That's a part of our duty. That's part of our responsibility. In the parables, we see two characters, the faithful servant and the evil servant. The faithful servant, they care about own duty and be a blessing and a comforter for other Christians. But the evil servant, no. The evil servant make the problem for other people. So that's the main question for us. How can a Christian be a source of comfort to other Christians? Actually, this passage shows us four important things. What's the first one? By living spiritually awake and alert. Spiritually awake and alert. Being prey. Don't allow Satan whispering in your mind, in your ear, my brothers or my sister. And then the next point says, how you can be aware. The next point says, by faith. Trusting God in hard times. We live in end times. In end times, many problems arise for us. Many hard things arise for us. They try to block us. They try to make us hopeless, make us disappointed. But the Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. Be faith, by love. Cares deeply about God and for others. And by hope of salvation for yourself and for reminding others of salvation in Christ. Amen? That's the four important keys to help us be a source of comfort for other Christians. Amen? That's what the Bible tells us. But when we come into the chapter 25, the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord gives another parable about the kingdom of heaven, about the being ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. In verse 1 to 4 says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be like to 10 virgins,
who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamp and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in the vessel with the lamps. In the parables, we see 10 versions. The five wise and five foolish. I hear in the many churches, actually, they try to explain these 10 versions is a picture of the Jewish and Christians. Like the five foolish is a Jewish, and the five wise, they are Christians. But I believe not. I believe all these 10 versions is a representative of the Christians. All 10 versions is a representative of the Christians, believers. But the false believers and those who only appear ready and those who truly are. The false Christian and true Christians. What's the meaning? Let me explain for you all what's the meaning here. From the time of the apostle until to now, we have seen many false Christians, people who outwardly claim to believe in Jesus Christ, but in reality their word and teachings show something different. For example, the group like a Gnostic. Anyone know the Gnostics people? Yeah? They know what the Gnostics believe. The Gnostics, they separate the divinity of Christ from Jesus. The Gnostic people say, God is holy and is not possible. God came on flesh. Jesus is different and the Messiah is a different thing. You know, they separated. Or the Catholic Church is a good example. The Catholic Church, which teach that salvation is not through Jesus Christ alone, but also through church and sacraments rather than faith in Christ alone. The Catholic Church believe, they believe Jesus Christ, and they hang in Christ as well, and Jesus always be on the cross in the Catholic Church. But when you come into the salvation point, they don't believe the salvation is happened through the Jesus Christ. They believe the salvation happened through the church, not through Jesus Christ. That's a big, 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 big point. Or Jehovah's Witnesses, who believe that Jesus is created being, and the Holy Spirit is just a force. Or, you know this church, sister, yeah? What's her name? Is Iglesia in Cristo. Oh, my goodness. That's a very wrong church. It's very famous in Philippines, actually. Yeah, it's a big church in Philippines, yeah? But that's a very wrong church. That's a very wrong church. Actually, they are not the Jehovah Witnesses, but the teaching, the doctrine is look like a Jehovah Witnesses. For example, they believe that Jesus is created. They don't believe the divinity of Christ. They don't believe the Holy Spirit. They don't believe the Trinity. They doesn't have it, the Jehovah Witnesses Bible. Maybe they use the New King James, or maybe they use the normal Bible. Very complicated. Very complicated. That's the picture of the five foolish virgins. They have the Word of God, but they deny the Holy Spirit. The lamp in the Bible is the Word of God. In Psalm 110 says, your word is my lamp in my feet. And the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The five foolish virgins, they have the word of God. They keep the word of God, but they doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The word of God called them foolish. Why? Because they have the lamp, which is the word of God, but they doesn't have the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. They have form, but not power. They have knowledge, but no true wisdom from God. My friends, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand God and His will. This is true. Without Him, we can't understand who is Jesus, really, and what is His will. Why many false religions, why many cults exist today? If you look at all the cults, you see very major things between all of them. All of them. Denying the Holy Spirit. Jehovah's Witnesses deny the Holy Spirit. That's a reality. That's a reality. That's a major point of the call of Christians. Denying Holy Ghost. Denying the Holy Spirit. John 16 verse 13 to 15 says, that's the Lord Jesus says, when he, Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take up what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father are Mine, therefore I said He will take up Mine and declare it to you. Look at this passage deeply. What did this passage tell us about the Holy Spirit? What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? The first thing Jesus says, Lord says, He will guide you into all truth. What's the meaning through here? The truth, I believe, is God. God is true, amen? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will guide you to the truth, to Christ. Christ is the truth. Jesus said, I am the true way. He will guide you to the truth. And another work of the Holy Spirit, He will tell you things to come. When you don't have the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter what kind of version of Bible do you have. Until you have the Holy Spirit, you can understand the will of God in the Bible. You can understand the prophecy in the Bible. You can understand what is this meaning, what is this meaning. Show me the Messiah in Old Testament. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says He will tell you things to come. When you have the Holy Spirit, when you read the Bible, He will show you the truth. He will show you what will happen in future. He will reveal to you the prophecy in the Bible. And the other things the Holy Spirit doing, He will glorify Me. That's the work of Holy Spirit. Glorify Jesus Christ. Actually, I remember for these churches, the Church of Christ, or what's the name, Ecclesia? Actually, I have a conversation with one of his pastors. I said, okay, if you reject the divinity of Christ, why you believe the Jesus? Why you call yourself Christian? You reject the divinity of Christ. Why you believe Jesus? He said, yeah, because the Father said that. I said, that's it? He said, yeah, because the Father said that. Do you know what I want to say? I want to say, because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit, he can't answer that. But if I ask you this question to you, you not go to the Bible college, yeah? Maybe he doesn't have the high education. But if someone asks you, for example, why sister believe in Jesus Christ? You are standing and raised up because Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And who give you this confidence to say that? Holy Spirit, amen? He will glorify Me. He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searching all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of the man, except the Spirit of the man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. So, my brothers and my sisters, the parables of the 10 virgins teach us that true radiance is more than outward religion. The wise virgin had oil, which is the Holy Spirit and relationship with God. The foolish had only lamp. They looked ready, but they were not. This reminds us that outward faith is not enough. Church attendance is not enough. What matters is living relationship with God. Your heart must be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. In both the story, the returning of the master or bridegroom is sudden, and its timing is unknown. The faithful servant is found doing his work when his master returns and in reward. But the evil servant thinks his master is delaying, suddenly faces judgment. In the parables of the 10 virgins, a cry is heard at midnight, and only those who are ready enter the wedding. Well, the door is shut on others. This contrast ending show that the opportunity to be ready is not endless. Maybe Lord coming today, maybe coming tomorrow, maybe coming now. Maybe rapture happen now. Are you ready? That's the main question. The apparent delay of Christ's return should not lead us into indifference but rather motivation us to remain faithful and honored. These two parables ask us, are you faithful in our service to God and to others? Is our personal relationship with Christ alive and active? Just warm that only those whose faith is real and are faithful will welcome his return with joy. If you have delayed your service or your spiritual life has grown cold, now is the time to return to him. As Jesus says, watch, for you do not know the day or the hour. Be careful. In verse 13, Matthew 25, the Lord says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour or in which Son of Man is coming. We don't know when the Son of Man is coming. We don't know when the Lord is coming. But we have to know, we have to be ready for his coming. Are you ready? Let's pray. The Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us once again, Lord, for warning us, for alarm us, Lord. Be ready. Be ready. Maybe I come in now. Maybe I come in now. Lord God, please, Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Be ready and standing faithful for your glory, Lord. Help us, Lord, be standing faithful in our duty, Lord, which is you give it to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. And the Lord God, and I pray your holy name. Amen. God bless.